Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. We have a really beautiful episode for you today. This is a conscious conversation, and my very special guest is just so incredibly inspiring. And I will introduce you to her in just one moment as I invite you now into this episode and also to this whole podcast. I want to encourage you, if you're brand new or if you've been listening for a while, there's a pretty deep bench of episodes. I've been doing this since 2016. And so I think there's about 400 episodes. So I would encourage you to maybe just do a little bit of a scrying, if you will, scrying, like basically let random synchronization help you to find something that might be tailored just for you. So like do a quick zoom up as you're going through the list and see what you land on, because that can be exactly how spirit will help us to connect with one another. And also, I'd like to invite you to please subscribe and leave a review, or follow is what the Apple app says now. So follow the show, leave a review with stars. I would so very appreciate it. It boosts me in the light quotient of our relationship and also in that good old algorithm. So those are my invitations to you. And of course, Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Trisha Carr Charm. YouTube, that is just YouTube/Trisha Carr. And yeah, those are the places where I'm publishing a lot of content. So those are my invitations to you. Oh, actually, I wanted to let you know as well, if you are on my newsletter, awesome, you already know about this. If you're not, in the show notes here, you will find a direct link to be able to sign up for the newsletter. I am actually offering two new kinds of reading services. So allow me to explain that. I have my signature service that's one-on-one, that is called empathic channeling. And this is like an entire deep dive into your soul, the lineage, your ancestors, the masters, archangels, whoever that you're interested in hearing from and who is coming forward for you. But really above what it is, the reason I call it empathic channeling is because my entire energy moves into your soul energy and I channel those messages, the attunements, all that is that your higher self really would like for you to embody at this time. And so that's my signature service. And I also usually, I do a little bit of hypno healing. I do some healing in that service. That's 90 minutes. People typically do that about once per year. Maybe you could do it twice per year, but it's such a deep dive and people listen to it over and over, or watch the replay over and over, that you keep pulling out of it for a long time. But I am feeling called now to add just a couple of quick services, not really that quick, half hour or an hour, and they're intuitive reading with divination. And so this is specifically designed for you to bring some questions, which of course you bring questions in the empathic channeling service as well, but this is really focused on your questions, just a good old-fashioned psychic insight reading. So I've added those two to the website. I have them available at this time, but my schedule is variable. It's inconstant. And so who knows how long this will be available? I don't know, but it's something that I'm feeling really guided to do at this time. So I wanted to make that invitation to you. Now, I said that I have my signature service of the empathic channeling, but I am also a hypnotherapist, and working therapeutically is my favorite thing. Therapeutically meaning several sessions going on for a long time, really working as a hypnotherapist and coach and a soul guide and spiritual teacher for someone. So you can check out my hypnotherapy section on my website, and there's a place for you to be able to book a free consultation for us to see what you would like to work on. And that also works in packages. So just so you know, you can, those may not be listed on the website if you go there this moment, but there's different, if you're going to be working therapeutically with me, then we have packages. And then of course I have my big coaching program called Mind Body Ascension Accelerator. Check the description, the show notes here, and you'll find a link to be able to read all about that. At this time, we do have two spots open. After those are filled, then the doors will be closed for 3 or 4 months, just depending on when you hear this. So thank you so much for listening to my invitations. And if you feel like you would like to work together, well, then let's give it a try. Let's just at least have a look at some of those links and let's see if we do align. I would love to work in your beautiful energy. Now let's talk about this episode today. Today, I have Priscilla Jogminas, and she is a certified hypnotherapist, an intuitive, a healer, a starseed ambassador, a channel teacher, and mentor. We discuss so many spiritual topics, spiritual development practices, and all of these are really kind of based around us remembering who it is that we really are, why we incarnated here. And Priscilla is, she said a starseed ambassador. That's so great. So she really brings through a lot of the Pleiadian energy, and she really has a beautiful and infectious energy. So I will chat with you on the other side of this conversation with Priscilla Jogminas. Well, Priscilla, oh, this has been a long time coming for me. I mean, I would say a year or months, but really it's lives, right? It's lives coming. It's been in the offing. I really do feel very kindred, like we have known each other and worked together before. So that's how I'm going to start this right now.
I believe it.
Yeah, you feel it too. But I do want everybody to get to know you. So would you please share with everyone listening, you know, something about your journey that led you to the amazing work that you're doing and actually the work that you're doing right now?
Yes. So I think my journey really started when I was really young. I remember I really wanted to be a nurse because I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And then I found out, you know, oh, maybe I want to be a doctor. So I remember really wanting to help people in that field. And so I went on that journey. I became a medical assistant and did that for a little while, and then decided to go further to become a vocational nurse. So I was in school for that. And something just didn't really feel right to me. And I kind of had a little bit of a change in my path when I started. Not that I don't love the traditional medical industry, but I realized that there was other ways that I could help people besides medicine. So I kind of went off on this little, I would say, not hero's journey, but maybe... You know, just a little journey, maybe hero's journey. We could, why not? Let's stretch it. Let's say it.
Yeah, we're all heroes. We're all heroes of our journey.
And so I went off on this journey, and I remember seeing Tony Robbins and what he was doing for people and how he was really inspiring people and lifting them up. And so I said, okay, I want to do that. I want to learn NLP, which, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, which at that time I was looking up NLP places. I found a couple of places that were like, you know, weekend courses or something like that. And I've always been really, really interested in being a student, and I'm a forever student. You know, I'm always love education. So I guess short story long, I ended up at HMI, and it was mainly for the NLP class. And then when I found out about hypnosis, I was like, oh my God, like this is it. And so I really started going on a very spiritual, connected journey with my training there, and really started to open up and meet some amazing people with some spiritual gifts, which I had always had since the age of 5 years old. I could see spirits. I would jump out of body. I would do a lot of things that, you know, most 5 and 6 year olds probably wouldn't be doing. By the time I was 13, I was actually a minister. And I was giving like little sermons and like, yeah, you know, Jesus and all this. I was very religious. And then I think now in my, I came to a point in my life where I've kind of mixed my spirituality and the metaphysical nature of what I do with also, you know, other religions as well. So I really don't claim one specific religion, but I do say that I'm a metaphysical and spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And that's what I claim today. But, you know, I just love anyone that is bringing love and light into the world and bringing a good message and a positive message. And I think as long as you stick to that, you know, that the world, you could definitely help the world to be a better place.
Mm. How beautiful. We have so much in common. I was also like deep. I was on fire for Jesus and, you know, in the church and everything. And I actually took myself to church when I was like 10, 11 years old and I opted to be baptized. And that wasn't because of my family's influence. Actually, my mother had a real phobia of church because religion had been used to just absolutely terrify and torture her. So she was actually so afraid of hell that she was afraid to go to church because she'd be reminded that she was going to hell. Like, that's, talk about emo, right? She was.
Yes, creating so many,
inferring so much, you know. So anyway, everyone, when we're talking about emo and fizz, which we maybe, it, who knows, we'll talk about it, but my mother is an emotional, that's her, both her suggestibility and her sexuality. Sexuality doesn't mean necessarily about having sex. It's about how you express yourself in the world. It's your personality. And you know what? I will link below some ways that you can find out what your sexuality is, if you're emotional or physical. But so far, I'm really kind of talking about her suggestibility, because the emotional suggestibility will infer. So they kind of like, they ruminate about things, is way to say it, and then it can become a lot, you know. And then the other one is physical, which means you're very literal and direct. So my mother was very indirect and inferred in her fear of church. So that's a short story long to say that. I was baptized at age 11, but my baptism in the most boring First Baptist Church in Saginaw, Texas. Like, not charismatic at all. But I had a light body activation in my baptism. I'm getting chills. Ooh. I remember it now. Like, it would just happen because, you know, it was quantum. So that happened. And no one, and I obviously didn't have those words then. And no one told me something fantastical or mystical would happen when I went in those waters, but it did. And then did you leave the Christian church at some point, kind of formally, or...
Yeah, I would say that, you know, they're like the cousins that get invited to the barbecue.
So yeah, I draw like, on it too. I draw on it. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I, like when I do my work today, my metaphysical work, I work a lot with Christ consciousness, which is kind of what I call it now. And so, you know, I'll bring in the Pleiadians. I'll bring in like the dragons. I work a lot with dragon spirits.
Me too. I didn't know you worked with dragons. That's awesome.
Yes, I do. They came to me when I first got my first Reiki activation, and I kind of knew that they were there. But when they showed up, I was like, oh, cool. And then I was riding a dragon, and then all of a sudden I was the dragon. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, and I sometimes even I'll get little itches on my shoulders. Like, it's kind of them reminding me, you have wings and there's magic in you. So don't forget that, because sometimes we really get wrapped up in this world and we forget how magical we are, how magical the fact that we're even here is. Yeah. The fact that we even showed up on this planet at all and decided to be here means that we are all strong spirits, because this is not an easy place to incarnate on.
No, and that's, and part of the difficulty of it is simply that we forget that, you know what I mean? Like, all that you just said, that's, and that's in the coaching that I'm doing right now, that came up, like, one of our greatest and weirdest talents is to forget how magnificent we are. And that's just what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. And I feel like part of that is so that we can learn what we need to learn without the disruption of knowing. Because if we knew, we would just say, okay, game over. Yeah. Like, time out. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done with this planet. I want to go back up to where I'm from, you know. Yeah. And I just remember being little and looking up at the stars and just feeling really homesick, but not understanding why. And I had a lot of experiences with spirits and aliens at a very young age. And, you know, my parents, being very religious, just called them demons. But aww. I think there were some levels, but I felt like, no, these aren't bad beings that I'm communicating with. And so I just kind of started communicating to myself. But I was visited by angels a lot, and a lot of very light Christ consciousness, what I call beings, which I think now could have been Pleiadians or from the Pleiades star system, because they are very much Christ consciousness there, and they are very light. And also, I think that they presented themselves to me as a child with what I would accept or what I could understand. So I think that they're really gracious in that way, that they really have to lower their vibrations to come down and communicate with us. And we kind of have to, and being a child and having that innocence and having that higher vibration, I think it was easier for them to come in that form. But I truly believe that, you know, there are definitely different types of dark and light spirits. I don't like to say evil, but I mean, I'm sure there are evil ones. I mean, I've come across some pretty dark ones, mm-hmm. but I think that every spirit and every being has its place and its part in the grand scheme of things. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how I feel.
And that's not, if we think about it, I mean, people get really, some people, you know, it's almost like a superstition to be like worried about, oh, but there's dark. It's actually much easier to not align with a dark energy than a dark person. Because once you've gotten, and by the way, hello, how about this human race? Are there, do you want to call some of them evil? I mean, some of them, there's no other word, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's just empirical evidence. But no, but you know, by the time you are face to face with the human in flesh, it's not as easy to just poof, not be there. I mean, sometimes it can be, but you know, there's a lot. But when we're talking about spirit or entities in the spiritual and energetic realm, it's really as simple as just having a different state inside your, and poof, they can't see you, you can't see them. It's really much easier, but it's kind of the mind thinks that it's unknowable, or does it just, again, it's a part of that illusion of not knowing what we really are. I have to share when I was little and I was experiencing, well, I had imaginary friends is what my family called it. And then even when I was a teenager and I would be communicating and this with spirits, I would be in my prayer, which was, you know, meditation and channeling too, because I did end up going to churches that were charismatic. And so I would speak in tongues or light language.
Me as well.
Yeah, of course. That's where we're going to go.
For at that time, but yes.
And then I would feel an entity and even see clairvoyantly a being in right there and even come and sit on my bed. And because of my conditioning, it was like, well, it feels good, so it has to be Jesus. And then it would be, I feel like Jesus would just go, fine, here. Okay, it's me.
Right, exactly.
Whatever works for you.
Yes, exactly. Whatever fits your reality. Because it's really our perspective that we're projecting onto this being, mm-hmm. and this being is really showing up the way that we see it. So mm-hmm. I think also that happens with sleep paralysis, and some people may not agree with me on this, but I feel that these are lower vibrational selves from other dimensions trying to stop us to say, hey, maybe you need to turn your life into a different direction. Mm. And coming to us in different forms, because I feel that we are always guiding ourselves with our future selves, past selves. There's lower dimension of ourselves. There's higher dimensional selves on different planes. And sometimes they come in to intervene. And so I feel like we are so protected as light beings that even the negative energies, they can try, but they don't have the power to influence our sphere of light and the way that we project ourselves. So I feel like even the negative experiences could have been either lower versions of myself, maybe the lower vibrational parts of me, like the shadow self we talk about. And I know that not a lot of people would agree with this theory, but I think for me, I just feel like we're so protected that they couldn't get that close to us and they couldn't have that much control over what we're doing. So it has to be a part of myself, maybe stopping me and saying, hey, maybe you need to go in a different direction, or maybe drawing my attention to something. You know, but that's how I feel, but it's still up for discussion, I'm sure. That's just my two cents.
Well, yeah. I mean, with sleep paralysis, you know, in our clinical studies, we understand that sleep paralysis is just essentially, I mean, honestly, I've heard that there's actually types of seizures that you become aware when your body is disconnected, and it's supposed to be, I forget what the term is, but basically your nervous system is disconnected from your brain and you're supposed to be in paralysis, but you're also technically not supposed to be aware of that or conscious. You're meant to be so deep in sleep. And so but we understand that that is sure what's happening physically, but that doesn't mean that spiritually there's also something happening. And actually, when I was in Psych 101 in college, the professor said, schizophrenia and being possessed by a demon are the same thing. And he said it just plain like that without any like explanation. And I was like, say again. And he's like, I'm just saying they're the same thing. He never said anything else.
Wow.
Spiritual or metaphysical. He just said that he didn't say one was more valid than the other. He was completely scientific all the other times, but he just said they're the same thing. So I thought that was really interesting. You know, something is happening. Sure, we can see what's happening with the brain and, you know, and what's happening with the mood and the chemistry and everything. But that doesn't mean that there's not a parallel something happening metaphysically, which you and I know about.
Right, exactly. And you know that, you know, alcohol is derived from the word alcool, which basically means body-eating spirit, and the word ghoul, which basically means, you know, a spirit that's dark. So, you know, whenever we take in anything into our body, we're changing the vibrations, we're changing everything about what we're projecting, and we're opening that pathway and that door. And so we have the free will to do that. You know, there's nothing that's going to stop us and say, don't open that door, because our guides are going to sit there and go, okay, we're here, but what are you doing? You know, you know, and then when we're finished and that door is closed, you know, when the vibrations and the change has shifted, because everything has the ability to change. We are made of so much water that no one can tell me that we are not able to shift and change our vibrations, shift and change ourselves physically, mentally, and emotionally. If we have this much water in us, this much water energy, this much spark, how can we not shift and change ourselves? It's really just about our perspective and then the knowledge and the training that we would need to do that. And I feel like a lot of that is inside of us. We just have to seek out information on it. And that's where enlightenment comes in. And I think that's really what I've been trying to find, is why are some of us enlightened and then others, we just go along our lives and we just never even think about it. You know, is it the chemistry? Is it the way we're set up with our soul contracts? I think that's the part of me that just wonders, because we have so much potential with everything that we're made of to really be so much more. So why is it that some of us are enlightened and wanting that and then others are not?
Well, as a Pleiadian soul, what do you think? Is it still just a question, or do you have some answers, or, you know, I don't, maybe not answers, but contemplations around that? What do you feel or think about that?
You know, I think that people in general are given the free will to do what they feel is best. And I think that there are ancestral ties to everyone. Everyone's tied along a long chain. And so I feel that there are moments, everyone has a moment of enlightenment or epiphany. And I think it's more about the decision, because we only have a certain amount of time on this earth. So I believe that because we come back over and over again, maybe the soul says, I don't want to deal with this lifetime, but maybe next lifetime I will. So I choose to feel that it's about, maybe this is not the lifetime that they're choosing that path, and maybe they'll do it. Because when you think about the amount of time that we have as far as past lives, if you believe in that, and this is your first or second go around, well, you've got some time. So maybe you want to focus on a romance novel this time. And then maybe next time you want to be in an adventure. Maybe next time you want to have a murder mystery. We don't know. Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit more about what the soul wants to experience.
What do you think about soul development, you know, youth or age or wisdom, how many goes around? I mean, I think that we could say if a soul were more or less developed, there's still obviously free will. So you could be a very developed soul who just wants to Netflix and chill this whole life. Who knows? Right. You know? But maybe you Netflix a better quality of programming than you did when you didn't know any, didn't have the development. Anyway, what do you think about that then? Soul development, or if you want to, the way we might say it sometimes is, you know, the ascension that is being brought in here. As a Pleiadian soul yourself, that is a certain level that they are 5D and above. So your soul is coming in, at least we can assume that trajectory.
And we will be right back.
Hello, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. I'm here to invite you to my coaching and mentoring portal, Modern Mystic Life. This high-value, easy-access portal is like having a spiritual mentor right in your pocket. You'll receive all the inspiration right there in your text messenger, and you can also access it on your desktop. I will be delivering the tools and technology that are proven to evolve your abundant life inside and out. You will receive daily inspiration, education, and practices to help you evolve your life as a mystic and a human spiritual being. Plus, you will have access to my monthly workshops in which I teach and channel cutting-edge spiritual content, and also will give guidance, intuitive readings, and attunements right there in our group setting. I worked with Spirit to co-create and manifest the best way to support you and in the easiest fashion, and here it is. I'm very excited to co-create with you too. So, welcome, my friend, to your modern mystic life.
And now back to the show.
I feel like what I feel from that is it's kind of like the time it takes for someone to learn something, because everyone learns at a different pace. So I feel that some souls, they want to learn things very quickly, and they want to go through things very quickly, and they want to get onto the other dimensions, the other planets, and do other things. While other souls, they may just want to take a little bit longer. Maybe there's things that they didn't get the first time and they want to take it over again. Like you would take a class maybe over again once or twice, or maybe you'd want to study a subject really in depth, you know, and really get a doctoral. So maybe these are just going, maybe these souls are just going for their Earth PhD. We don't know. You know, I mean, they could just be going for, I really want to thoroughly understand the subject. So I'm going to keep putting my soul in this spot many, many times. And then I'll have my master's degree. You know, who knows what kind of degrees that we study it, because some people may just study it to a simple degree just to get to where they want to go, while others may want to really get a doctor in that specific study. And so I feel like it's more of like an education where some of them really want to take longer to learn and take it in, while others may just want to breeze through it. And I already know this, or I've already done this before a couple times, you know, I've got it now. I think that because I think that at the end of the day, we are all students. That's why we're here on Earth. This is the school planet, or at least how I believe. Mm-hmm. And so if we're here, then that means we're here to learn something and we're here to teach something. Mm-hmm. And the souls that are being incarnated within this time frame, I believe that their purpose is really about teaching and bringing in that information and enlightening everyone to a higher level of consciousness. And I feel like that's really been going on the last 10 or 15 years for sure.
Mm-hmm. Are you, do you know about human design?
A little bit. I'm just getting into it, but I would love to hear your take on it. Cause I took the test and I go, I'd have to study this a little bit more, but
do you know what your type and profile are and everything?
You know what? I took it, but
are you a projector? Does that sound familiar?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And I go, projector, this is interesting.
Yeah, you feel like a projector to me. So,
no, you're right. I'm sure you're right.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it some other time. You could actually, after we get off, text me your birth details if you want to.
I will.
But the reason I thought of human design is because there's actually it's prophecy, sort of, but it's not even just a prophecy. It's an astrological event that's occurring 2027, where we change our, it's called the incarnation cross, but it's like the background frequency that we're running. And so I was wondering if you were privy to that, you could probably just intuitively, that makes sense. Oh, sure. Something's happening. And that feels like the right time, right? Like 5 years from now, something's going to pop off.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything's cataclysmic, and it's not like Armageddon. It's just that there's a lot of momentum happening because we're wrapping up this background frequency, and then we're going to shift to another one. It may actually slow down right after we shift. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yes. And I feel like some people, they maybe think, oh, it's the end of the world. But, you know, really what it is it's just a shift in timeline jumping and timeline reality. So when we have a shift in reality, we just have some people slip out and maybe do something different. It's kind of like, you know, a plane. Okay, well, I want to go to this dimension now, or I want to stay here. And so I think that there are ways that we can actually use certain codes and certain light codes to kind of create our reality. So we can do a lot of writing, but we always want to write about what we want, and we try not to focus on what we don't want, because if we write about, I don't want to have, I don't want to be broke anymore. Well, guess what's going to happen? you're just going to stay in that timeline because all the universe hears is, oh,
be broke. Okay.
Be broke. They don't hear the I don't want because the universe is a doer. It's like, oh, this is what you want. Here you go. I want to create a tree. There's a tree. I want to create a cloud. There's a cloud. The universe is not, it's a literal suggestible. It's
very literal. I know.
It's a fizz. It's like, oh, wait, what'd you say? Oh, broke. Okay.
That's, I know. Right? Before I studied at HMI, knew anything about suggestibility, I was teaching. I was like, energy is literal.
Yes.
That's what I kept saying. It's very literal and direct. And also because, you know, my first psychic gift that I opened, a spiritual gift that I opened up was animal communication. And animals are very literal. You can't tell an animal, you know, don't bark. He's all bark, right? Bark. I know. I am.
Exactly. Yes. You know, and I feel like if we come at the universe like an emo and we're like inferring everything, which is what we have a tendency to do because we're taught when we're little, don't cry. You're going to make a scene. You're going to disturb everybody. Or, you know, it's okay. Let me just do what I need to do to calm you down. And then, you know, you got to go to bed. You can't stay up with the adults, you know, in your little furry pajamas. You're too little. You have to go back to your bed. And so as we become adults, we get into those, I call pajama situations where we're like, oh, and we get caught in our little furry pajamas and these people are too big for us and we're too little and you know, we're out of our element. But I feel like the universe is encouraging people to, you know, take off your footy pajamas, put on your grown-up shoes and your grown-up pants and your grown-up clothes. Cause guess what? You're one of the grown-ups now. And I don't think we're ever told that really. Like we have birthdays and, but I think mentally and emotionally, we still have those pajama moments about our spirituality, about what we think about things. Like, can we really own this? You know, are we still that little kid that's trying to be quiet and not disturb anybody? Or maybe we're that little kid who's trying to cause trouble because it's fun, you know, but either way, we can step into that. And I think that we're the ones who have to tell ourselves, it's okay now. It's okay, you know?
Yeah. I love that we're getting our footy pajamas. Yeah, it takes a lifetime to feel like you're grown, I think. I feel grown in a lot more ways. This is what I love about getting older. I don't care about the skin sagging. That really doesn't bother me nearly as much as I appreciate. God, it was so hard being even just under age 38. All of it was hard.
Yes, yes. I think that once you hit 40, I told my daughter today, I go, I think I'm in the stage where I just don't care what anybody thinks. And
right.
I'm just going to do what I want because I feel like I don't, you know, how much time do we really have? And I'm just not going to worry about what people think anymore. I mean, yes, of course I care about everyone, but you really have to live your truth. And nobody tells you that. You just have to tell it to yourself. Nobody comes down and waves their magic wand and goes, okay, you could do whatever you want now, you know? And so I think we just have to be reminded that it's okay. And you know, if we need to remind ourselves every day that it's okay to just be yourself and do what you want. And I think with beauty standards alone, there's so much that's put on women as far as, but guys, you know, it's like, oh, and I love men. I'm not bashing them, but I feel like there is unrealistic beauty standards for women. And I feel like if we look at the soul and not as much the exterior, because this exterior fades away and then all you're left with is the soul, and the soul has to be developed. And I feel like that's a message that our young girls are not getting enough.
Mm. Oh, gosh. And just not only not getting the message, but getting a message from social media, Instagram, and whatever the younger kids are using now. Are they Snapchatting? I don't know.
TikToking.
Who knows?
I call it click clock. My kids laugh at me. I'm like, you know, on the click clock. They're like, mom, whatever. I call it a meme or a meme. And they're like, it's not mom, it's a mem. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
What? I've never heard it called a mem.
Or maybe I call it a mem. I don't know. I don't know. But what I am happy is that they're putting themselves in front of the camera and they're able to like create something.
Yes.
But then they're being so judged and they're getting from such an early age what judgment is really like, not only like school bullies and things mm-hmm. like what we, you know, grew up with, but this is like, you put a TikTok video on, you're 15 years old, you have all these issues, maybe you're a young girl who's not in her skin yet, and then all these people are commenting on you and giving you all this love and hate. How at that age do you process that? You know, yeah. that's not the experience we had. We didn't have, you know, the ability to put ourselves on a platform where there's going to be all these people watching and judging us. I mean,
and just saying it. And that's the thing with social media, with texting it, is people can be on their worst behavior, and there's so much objectification. You know, they feel they're objectifying themselves, like it doesn't matter. Like, I can let out this nasty thing. It's not, they don't really take responsibility for it. They don't feel it. I remember Louis C.K., the comedian, he was talking about just people driving in cars creates that too. So like he was saying, you know, you would be, you're driving in a car and you yell out the window, "You stupid fucking pile of shit." And he's like, but if someone were standing in an elevator next to you, you wouldn't like look in their face and say, "Stupid fucking pile of shit." Like, there's no way you would do that. A sane human being wouldn't do that, because you're being that close to someone. You know they're a human, but you can objectify them with these divisions that are just perceived. And then there's also that, you know, not really taking responsibility or caring about what you're releasing. And here's the thing, as we're talking about lower selves and everything, as you were saying, the internet is the fourth dimension. And the internet, because the 4D.
You just cleared it all up for me.
You're like, and press end because we're done. Yeah, no, but it is. The internet is the fourth dimension manifesting for us, seemingly manifesting, because it's coming into our light and sound spectrum that we physically perceive. So we are experiencing what we normally not otherwise would have been experiencing in dreams or in fantasies, or, you know what I mean? Like you're talking about sleep paralysis, it's happening in our reality of physical light and auditory, that, and so it seems more real. It's actually becoming, it's manifesting. It's not going to become physicalized, but it's everything but a physical reality. The fourth dimension is there. It can be a dumpster fire. It can be just chaos. And there's, you know, also just, but it's a transient dimension. It's not something, it's a thought form dimension. It's where all our thoughts and feelings are. And so, yeah, it's just showing up. And these young people who don't, you know what I mean? Like, it is reality for them. I mean, it's out for older people too, but especially young people who are coming up in it and don't have the division, you know, don't have that understanding.
And that's why we need the 5D, and that's why it's mm-hmm. coming very soon, because the 5D is going to clear it up. Because I believe that there are many, many different mid-levels, you mm-hmm. know.
Octaves, yeah.
Because I've been to the underworld, mm-hmm. soul traveled to the underworld. I've soul traveled to the upper realms. And in my opinion, it's really just about vibrational frequencies and what's there. Because it's not about bad or good. I think as a race, we've kind of gone a little bit beyond that. But it's about negative and positive thinking and what's good for you and what's not. And when you find, what do you find in the fourth dimension? You find these soul-eating spirits. You find these spirits that are going to be feeding off of this dramatic energy. So I think what makes it real is that a part of it is being fed by, you know, darker or, you know, fourth dimensional spirits, because something is created out of these words, whether it be something small or something big, but an energetic feeling is created once you put it into the fourth dimension. So it's kind of just floating around with not really a lot of purpose.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just the more you put into it, the bigger it's going to get. And so I feel like there's such a need for positive content to balance it out. And that's why your show is so amazing.
Thank you.
You like how I wrapped that with a bow?
That was awesome. I'll Venmo you the payment. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Well, but you know what? It just came to me. I'm like, what's happening? What's the process here? So like, just take that, the archetypal young person, teenager, your young teen, who's, you know, has all of this 4D coming toward them. And it's like static, you know what I mean? It's like distortion, and it's like message units, right? As we understand. And so that's the opportunity. Message units is just in our training is essentially when you get overloaded with message units, that's any kind of piece of information that comes into your mind, then eventually your critical mind is going to just friggin' give up and you're going to escape. Have you ever read Eckhart Tolle?
Yes, it's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's like what happened to him for his awakening. He was like so like filled up with so much negativity that finally he just broke, you know, his ego broke. And then I remember he says, am I one person or two? Because he was saying, I cannot stand myself. And then it was just like, whoa. So he kind of, it broke that wall. So that's the opportunity. Fortunately, for all of us, with this 4D that's invading our space, and then with the positive content coming out of there, then that's what we can break into.
Definitely.
What do you think of that?
I love that. It's just like Alice through the looking glass. You know, she has her ordinary world, like her parents and her family and school and everything. And she's thinking, oh man, you know, so great, but it's so boring. I want something more exciting.
Yeah.
So then she steps through the mirror, through the looking glass, into this mirror-like reality. It's very similar to the reality she has, but it's also full of dark and light energies. So for me, this is very much the Alice in Wonderland experience for a lot of these teenagers. So like mm-hmm. you said, having that content out there, having that positive content for them to grab into when they're in this looking glass feeling, which I mean, literally, you're looking at a piece of glass. You know, when you're in this, and, you know, and then when they come out of it, you know, really being aware and letting our young people be aware that, you know, when you come out of that looking glass world, that I'm still here for you and the reality is still here, and just keeping them grounded and making them feel connected, and then also limiting, you know, the screen time. I mean, I don't want to be that mom, but I feel like screen time is good and there's a lot of positive things, but
sure.
But, you know, we really need to spend time in this physical reality, because this is the reality that we can really shift and change with our thoughts just as much as the 4D, if not more. Mm-hmm. I just think people turn to the 4D because it's so simple. It's like taking an aspirin when you have a headache. You automatically feel good. It's a quick fix, you know, like, oh, I'm sad, I'm going to watch some cat videos. Oh, I feel better now, you know. And there's nothing really in this world unless we come across it. But that's why we're journeyers. That's why every soul has to embark on that journey, not through a screen or through a glass, but has to go out and actually find those little quests, or like have to actually go out and find a cute cat instead of, oh, it's here on my phone. Oh, you mean I've got to get dressed and I got to get in my car and drive around and look for cats? Well, no, but like if something shows up, it's going to be more special than if you know it's just going to be there while you're scrolling through. So we don't want to lose the wonder of the magical things that can happen, that can come to us in this reality, you know, with the looking glass.
Mm. That's amazing. It is the looking glass.
I mean, it really is when you think about it, you know.
I'm never going to think of it any other way now when I'm looking at my phone. That's incredible. Well, I really want to talk about all of the work that you're doing with people. What kind of, I'm not going to say what it is you're doing. Why am I doing that? I was about to fill it in. I was going to answer the question.
That's okay.
I'm used to just looking at a screen and it can't talk back. No, I'm kidding. So yes, please tell everyone about the work that you're doing.
It's a little joke. Help me, I'm trapped. No. So what I've been doing a lot is I've been doing a lot of house clearings. I work with a lot of attachments now, because most people that come to me when they do past life regression, which is another thing that I do, I notice that there are a lot of attachments, and these attachments can attach to, you know, ancestral DNA, can be attachments that we carry through. But I feel like, just as you were saying with the professor, that every single illness, not discounting modern medicine for medication for people with illnesses, but I do feel like every issue that comes up, there is a lower vibrational attachment that attaches onto it. So what I've really been focusing on is doing energy work, a little Reiki, when we do the past lives, but also specifically cord cutting to these attachments. And even if we could transform the attachments into something positive and light, because everyone, I believe everyone has about 200, kind of a team. And then there's about five or six of them that kind of help guide. And they all kind of take little breaks, and then one's in charge and then the other one's in charge. So sometimes you'll notice that there's different experiences that come up. Well, it's probably because maybe somebody took a break and now this person's, you know, helping you. And so you'll come up with different things so that we get a collective experience. But what I really like to do for people is starseed connections, which I help them learn how to channel if they want to do that. Oh, the starseeds, and also the cord cutting. And then sometimes I do connect with deceased pets or loved ones. So really, it's just I don't really know what the label is for it. But what I really like to just focus on is the hypnosis part, but then also adding in the metaphysical stuff as well. So it's kind of like a hybrid of these things. And I feel like it's really helpful because dealing with the issues with hypnosis, a lot of things come up. And so I believe that there are spiritual attachments to a lot of these things. And so I really try to help clear out that energy and those blockages, and really try to have people have a good experience. Because when we're in the past life, we don't want to have them come back and be sad about their baby that died in 1825 for the next 2 weeks. Because really, this was just a lifetime that we were learning something. And so I want to try to find what the learnings are and then heal that, whatever closure needs to happen, and then move forward. Because there is little holes in that reality, if there's trauma or if there's anything there that is unresolved that we don't even realize, because maybe to this day, because we had this baby that died in 1825 without even realizing it, we're looking at baby clothes and crying, or we go into an antique store and it hits us, you know, I had a baby and it's not here anymore. So I feel like just trying to help people with these things is really important, because there isn't always closure in those situations. So if I can go back and help them, I sound like Sam Beckett right now. Back in time to help them.
I loved that Soma show so much when I was a kid. Quantum Leap, you guys. That's what we're talking about. It's so old that a lot of people may not know it. And it wasn't that good. It was just like, I loved that I just love the concept.
I think they started putting him in dresses and drag because it did start to get like, okay, he's doing it again. And so it was like, oh, well, now he's Marilyn Monroe. Oh, okay. No, it's funnier, you know. But but so to speak, I feel like, you know, we are energetically traveling to those dimensions when we do past life regression. Even though the body is there, I feel like the soul does travel there. And so to just kind of help that soul work through those issues as much as I possibly can, and to connect to their guides. So in a nutshell, that's what I do. What the label is, I have no idea, but I just call myself a metaphysical hypnotherapist.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah, that's great. And you work, and even the house clearings, you do those remotely, or do you go only locally?
So I you know, it's something that's new that I just started doing, but I do like to take the person to a neutral location first to try to see if we can clear anything with them. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I will go to the house. I feel that it's not that it's a big job. It's just that there's a lot of things that need to happen. A lot of guides need to be contacted before we do it. But those, I usually go to the home and do that. I try not to travel too far, you know, but it also depends on, you know, the situation and everything. I mean, it's just a lot of different factors, but I do feel that it is one of my purposes to work with. And I actually work with Kali, who is
I love her.
Really great, because she powerful. Just like gets it done.
she doesn't have time.
No, she's like, all right, let's go. She's probably one of the best to work with. And I do work with Christ consciousness, but Kali, she really just like gets in there and does the dirty work. And it's really more about me kind of communicating with them and having them help me with it, because they work on their side and I work on my side with the person, and together we're the A team. No. Yeah. But that's kind of the concept.
Do you prefer, or do you have a preference, I should say, to working with like single sessions, or do you prefer working therapeutically, or are you happy with both?
I think it just, I really like to try to look at the whole entire situation respectively and say what's going to be the best for this person. So I try to stay flexible. Mm-hmm. And, but I do try to be aware of time frames, because my sessions do tend to be a little bit long.
I but know, 50 minutes. They say, yeah. They taught us in school. I'm like,
no. There's no way that you could do what I do in 15 minutes. So, no. You know, people are a little bit taken aback when I say 3 to 4 hours sometimes. But, you know, that just depends on what exactly we're dealing with. But I really try to make sure that I get done what needs to get done, mm-hmm. and that, you know, we move forward. But I would say that I do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. And how about, do you do group work and teaching, or are you doing that kind of work?
So I did do some work in a rehab center, which I really loved, but I feel like with group work, it's something I'm growing into, but right now working with one-on-one has really been valuable for me, I have done some group work before and I really do love it as well. I actually did I went to San Diego with my friend. She's a massage therapist, and we did like a little event. And there was actually goats in the neighbor's yard, and also in her yard. So we were doing the scream therapy, where I took everybody in hypnosis onto the top of a mountain. And I said, okay, now take all your love, all your hate, all your emotions. And at the count of three, we're going to tense our body up, and then we're going to scream, right? And so everybody tenses up. And then the goats start screaming, ah! And then everybody's like looking like, what is going on? And thank goodness it was in an area where it was kind of a little bit more of a rural area. But so I said, oh, well, maybe if we book this again, we might.
I love it. The goats, and they sound very similar to humans. They're screaming.
Yeah, they were. I think that I put them in hypnosis because they were just kind of sleeping, and then all of a sudden they're just like, ah.
So me too.
Scare them, or if they were on the journey with us. I mean, it was on top of a mountain, so I could see how they connected.
That's so cute. I love it. They're like, wait, let us up there, because they love to climb too.
and I also find that I feel like animals go in a little bit too. Like I've never done a lot of sessions around them, but I feel like the goats, you know, they were right there with us. So,
well, yeah, they don't really have a critical mind, and most mammals, at least, I don't know all of the species, they just have more alpha brain waves than we do. You know, so they kind of, compared to us, they are in hypnosis all the time.
They're like our somnambulistic.
Exactly. They're much more somnambulistic than we are, but they don't have that critical mind divider. They don't have that filter. And so they flow very much. And actually their conscious mind is, they're not really conscious of their conscious mind. You know what I mean? Like they really, they think and feel more in their subconscious, or more with their whole mind. Their conscious mind is just skills that just show up. That's what I've witnessed with animals. So, but actually, I was talking to Cheryl O'Neill, who has been on the podcast, and she is senior instructor at HMI College of Hypnotherapy. And I was talking to her about animal communication, and she's like, "Well, you know, like saying maybe you should teach that at HMI." And I'm like, "But what does it have to do with like hypnosis?" And she's like, "Well, do you hypnotize the animals?" And I'm like, "No, they're already in hypnosis." I mean, yes, but animals actually, when I'm in session, they'll usually come and. They get themselves involved in the session somehow. Because I have a session with them remotely first, and then I get on a Zoom call with the human, and they'll show up. Sometimes they start just meditating. They just like crash out right there, or sometimes they just start talking. They're like, rawr, you know, whatever.
I love that. But yeah, I think that the powers that be, whoever that is, gave us the gift of not really allowing everyone to hear what animals' thoughts are. Because can you imagine?
Well, if they could
verbalize, like, oh, there's a bird. Oh, I'm really hungry. Oh, I'm gonna lick my butt. Like,
yeah. They just are. I know. And sometimes people will be like, I think my cat's trying to tell me something. What is it? And I'm like, she's probably saying, I'm hungry, I want you to scratch me. Like, it's really not, right? It's very present. Yes. They're not worried about the past or the future. They're like, yeah, you bring me my food twice a day. That's it. What am I worried about?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like the telepathy is something that we need to learn. And I'm working on it. I feel like I have it there, but you know, only with certain people, you know, when you have that connection and mm-hmm. you could just like, oh, I know you were thinking about me, so I thought I'd give you a call. And I feel like everyone experiences that here and there, but we don't really expand on it because we're so busy with work and family and all the other things that we do. I just wish there was more time to...
I have a telepathy course. I mean, not just with animals.
I'll have to check it out.
Well, I don't have it published right now because when I did have it published, it had possibly to do with, you know, my vibration of who I attracted or maybe the time, you know, that I released it, people would take it, but then they didn't want to practice because they were scared. And I was doing psychic, development then, and people weren't afraid of that, the people that I attracted, but they were scared about people reading their minds or they didn't want to read someone else. I'm like, no. Did you take the courses? No. But anyway, but maybe it's getting time since you brought that up. I had that back in 2017, and I did a few podcasts on it too. It's like telepathy is the language of, you know, our new paradigm. It really is. And it's honestly, as we're talking about the fourth dimension and social and broadcast media, it's, you know, it's kind of like before they were going for the financial powers that be. I mean, I can give them names: Zuckerberg, Bezos. You know, like, they have names,
right?
Turner also. Anyway, it was like the commodity that this kind of consumerism was feeding. It used to be more just our cash, you know, like in our parents' time. And then it moved into, in the information age, our data. And they got all that. They got everything. They have all of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they got all of our numbers.
They got all our numbers, all our everything. And so the next commodity that they're going for is our consciousness, is our conscious awareness. And we are really telepathically, in a lot of ways, we are being trained telepathically with the media, the way we communicate. Because think about how tone doesn't carry when we text something. So we're having to figure out how to infuse it. But unfortunately, there's the negative content that's out there that's kind of having us telepathically communicate with the lower frequency. Anyway, I'm off on a thing. I feel like I can get off on a thing with you.
We don't want to get started on that. Yeah.
But, you know, when I practiced, my friend Hokulani, who's also an animal communicator, and we had the idea to start practicing telepathy with each other, with humans, and it totally worked. And it was really, really cool. We did a few experiments and it worked, you know, so maybe you and I should talk about that.
Yes.
Somewhere. Yes. Maybe we could do a course or something together.
That sounds great.
This has been so amazing. So you are, all of your information is in the notes, but how you have such an impressive spiritual development. And I'm sure many people are just thinking, how do I know about my starseed origin? How do I know about my spiritual gifts? And how do I start to manifest that life that is more aligned for me? So what are some of your, what is a tip or two or a technique? How can people work on that today?
So I feel like the first thing that I did on my spiritual journey is I started doing a lot of writing, and mainly I was focusing on when I'm still and when I'm quiet and when I'm not surrounded by other voices, other people's opinions, what does my soul really want? And I really started to connect with what can I do in this moment to get closer to that? You know, is it just connecting more with myself? Is it connecting more with others? And I think it's about doing the detailed little steps that people want to get to the big result. But it's about being still with yourself, taking those little walks, you know, doing those little self-care things. And asking yourself, you know, if I wasn't going to get paid for it, what would I just love to do? What would really resonate with me? And for me, it all started with the thought, I want to help other people get better. And now I do.
Yes, you do.
So I feel like, you know, it's easy to manifest in that way, but it's also very simple and it's very detailed. So a lot of people don't put the, you know, importance on it.
So getting quiet, getting still. I agree. I think writing, journaling or channeling, how you know, or looking at your dreams or just asking the questions or telling yourself you love yourself in writing. It's amazing. But right, we have to get still first. So we have to do some meditation or self-hypnosis in order to clear away that filter of all of that 4D crap, right?
Yes, yes. And also, you know, I have a new thing I've been doing is I've been putting a little bit of salt water and lemon near my bed. I mean, obviously, if you have animals, I don't think it would hurt them. They may not like it if they drink
it. Yeah, the citrus is like, ooh.
Yeah, lemon. But I feel like it's really absorbing like a lot of the negative energy. So I think it's really just about being conscious of your energy and that spiritual hygiene that we're taught with Reiki. And it's really easy, you know, you just focus on your own energy and you just, you know, try to keep yourself clean. I think spiritually and mentally and emotionally, if you keep yourself clean constantly and you just constantly are aware of your thoughts and challenge a negative thought, you don't have to think, be upset at yourself for thinking it, but just say, well, why did that come up? Because usually there's a different root, and there's an exercise that we do where we put the problem in one hand, we put the solution in the other. And we actually talk to the problem and we say, you know, why are you here?
Yeah.
And sometimes it could be very heart-centered, like I'm here to protect you, or I'm here because you got hurt doing this once and now I'm going to stop it from happening again. And so you'd be surprised why certain issues and blocks are there. It's not always necessarily to stop you. Sometimes it's just something that is trying to keep you safe, but you have to let it know, I am safe and I can do this. And I think it just goes back to that giving yourself permission to listen to your own intuition.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Priscilla, this has just been so amazing. I would love for you to come back on anytime, yes. Sometime, anytime. We need to do some more stuff together. I feel
definitely.
Like we definitely, we've opened the portal for it. So, you know, we'll be doing that more. So thank you so much for all of the work that you're doing and thanks for coming on.
Thank you. This was lovely. It was so much fun.
Said, infectious, right? But also so grounded and loving and wise. We just have the best time. And by the way, Priscilla and I are both graduates of HMI College of Hypnotherapy. You've possibly heard me talk about this on the podcast before. I've had several guests who were either graduates or teachers at HMI. And you know, HMI is completely online now. So it doesn't matter where in the world you are, if you are interested in really, I can say this because I only work there and not, I took the program. I would say it's the premier hypnotherapy education in the world. I'm going to say it. I said it. So there. But it is also the U.S.'s first nationally accredited hypnotherapy college. And the program's about a year. It's like, I think, 10, 11 months with, you know, vacation, holiday time. And it's change your life. If you're interested in working with people, you know, working in hypnotherapy, working with the subconscious mind is working in spirit. So if you're interested, then I encourage you to check it out. Links are in the show notes for you to be able to go to and find out what's going on with HMI. And I can just tell you, it's very easy. Hypnosis.edu is their website. And if you do ever end up inquiring about going to college there, if you would like to submit and get into the enrollment process, do please let them know that you heard it from me. You heard it from Tricia Carr on the podcast because, you know, they really like me then. And I like being liked. So, but one more thing about HMI is that they have an internship there, a second part of your education there. There's a clinical internship where
the students are actually seeing clients supervised by an instructor, a senior staff instructor. And therefore, a lot of them take pro bono free clients. So if you go check on the website, again, the link is in the description, but it is very simple. It is just hypnosis.edu/sessions, and you will be able to see if you can get some free hypnosis sessions. And that's not just one, but they will work with you as long as you want to work together, but they'll work with you, especially as long as they're in their residency with the school. And I know one of my clients did that, and I think she worked with her practitioner, her therapist, for 6 months. She was just recently telling me about that. So it's amazing. Anyway, there's some resources for you. And, you also might see Priscilla and me bopping around there if you ever went to school, because I work at HMI part-time, and Priscilla does as well. We do that in addition to our practices that we discussed on the show. Okay, well, I hope that you found some inspiration here. I wonder if you are wondering or already have a sense of what it means to be a starseed and if that resonates with you. And I really would love for you to pursue who it is that you really are, whatever that feels like to you, if there's a label that aligns with. But labels can't even do justice to who you are. And I encourage you to cultivate the self-love and the self in the space to give yourself that love, because it's so very important. You deserve it, and we need you in the fullness of who you are. That's what I have for you in this episode. Thank you so much for being here, and thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.